Thank you, Dan. Good morning, everyone. My wife Yvonne and I are certainly delighted to be with you again here at Listowel. And I'm going to be with you for the next four meetings. So just to give you a bit of a roadmap of where we're going, my exercise is to do a study with you from the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And this morning we're going to look at running the race of faith. Tonight we will look at the chastisement of the Lord. And then next Lord's Day, God willing, of course, we'll look at the pursuit of peace and holiness, and then we'll end our time together by looking at heeding the voice from the mountain. So that's a bit of the roadmap for us, the next four meetings. So right now, if you have your Bibles, please, I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we will read the first three verses, and that will be our text for this morning. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So this morning we'd like to start by looking at running the race of faith. And this chapter that we're going to be considering together the next 2 weeks is really an overall exhortation to faith and godliness. Now, any of you who have studied the Epistle of to the Hebrews, who's familiar with this epistle, know that it was written to people who were being persecuted for abandoning Judaism to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And they suffered bitter opposition because of this. And so this epistle was written because there was indeed a danger that they would see this as a sign of God's displeasure and that they would become discouraged and give up and return to Judaism. And of course, throughout the epistle to the Hebrews, we are constantly reminded that Christ is better. In fact, I suggest to you that one of the key words that we have if you're studying the epistle of Hebrews is better. And so we see as we go through the epistle, we're reminded constantly that Christ is better. Well, better than what? That he's better than Moses. He's better than the angels. He's better than Melchizedek and the priesthood. He's better than the Old Testament sacrifices and so on. Christ is better. That is the undergirding theme of this wonderful epistle, that Christ is better. For example, we might turn to Hebrews chapter 3, because we're going to see that because Christ is better, because we're reminded through this epistle that Christ is better, there is a particular emphasis then throughout the epistle to be steadfast in our faith. For example, we see in Hebrews chapter 3 in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. And then if you just turn over quickly with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And then Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So just a few samples from the epistle of the Hebrews, encouraging us to steadfastness in faith with this belief and understanding that Christ is better. Now, of course, the chapter preceding the chapter we're considering in more detail together, chapter 11, sometimes referred to as the Hall of Fame of the Heroes of Faith, reminds us of those who were of this kind of faith that we're talking about. This emphasis continues with our own life of faith, described as a race. Now, we read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and note at the beginning of this chapter we have the word wherefore. Some of your translations might have the word therefore. Regardless of those words, what word is used, it's a word of connection. And it connects what went before with what is about to be said. So what was said previously is now connected with what is about to come. It's a word of connection. Inherent in this use is the idea of listen up, pay attention. Based on this, now do this. So wherefore? So what are we connecting wherefore with what is coming? It says that we are compassed, or rather it might be translated surrounded. We are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That word cloud in the Greek is a figure of speech, and it simply refers to a large group or a crowd. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we're told that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. That cloud of witnesses referring to those heroes of faith that are mentioned in the previous chapter. Old Testament saints like Abraham, like Moses, like Gideon and others that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, in what way are they witnesses? While the word witnesses can mean spectator, that is not, I would suggest, the usage that is applied here in this chapter. The word refers to those who bear witness. That is, their lives bear testimony to the truth. Their lives have borne witness to the value of faith. And we are reminded, of course, in Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. And so by these cloud of witnesses' exemplary lives, they inspire us, and they encourage us, and they instruct us in running the race of faith. And so as we seek to follow in the footsteps of others who have gone before and who have successfully run the race of faith, there are three elements that I'd like to look at with you this morning that are necessary and are required as presented in our text. The first element would be the need to lay aside the weight that hinders. The second element would be the need for endurance. And then the third element is the need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those three elements we're going to look at in some detail this morning. So the first element would be the need to lay aside the weight which hinders. We see that in verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Note the illustration of running, and keep this illustration before your mind this morning as we look at this. The Christian life here is likened to that of running a race. And so we're encouraged to run the race of faith. Now, those of you who are runners amongst us know that if you're seeking to be successful in the race, if you're seeking to win the race, you don't approach the finish, or the starting line rather, all loaded down with backpacks and luggage in your hand and heavy boots and all those kind of things. Immediately the spectators would look and scratch their head and say, they really don't look like they have much of a chance of winning this race, do they? So a runner does not carry with them all these things that are going to slow them down. Rather, they wear clothing that is loose, light-fitting, that allows freedom of movement. And any excess weight or any clothes that chafe or whatever it may be that is going to get in the way of optimum performance in that race is set aside. And of course it can be the difference between victory and defeat. And so in the race of faith, we too must lay aside every weight. Now what is those weights that might hinder us, might hold us back, might interfere with us running a successful race? Things which hinder, of course, they are things which hinder or slow down or may even grind to an absolute halt our spiritual growth and our progress. Now, these weights in and of themselves may be harmless. They may be harmless things, but they still may hinder us. For example, material possessions, certain relationships, hobbies or entertainment. Maybe it's the pursuit of a career, the lust for success, and all these other kind of things. These kind of things, while harmless in themselves, may in fact be a hindrance in our race of faith. It's not always a choice between right and wrong, but something that may hinder us or something that may not. Now, of course, there are harmful things that will hinder us as well. Harmful things that the scriptures identify for us to put off or to lay aside. For example, in Luke chapter 21, the Lord Jesus talked about self-indulgence and drunkenness and the cares of this life, that these are the kind of things that need to be laid aside. Look with me, please, at Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." And of course, Peter wrote about similar things, as did James. They talk about putting off or laying aside these kind of things, anger, wrath, malice, filthy communication, all these different kinds of things. These are harmful things that the scriptures talk about us having to put off or to lay aside. Such things, of course, would make the race of faith difficult, if not impossible. And so as we are thinking about these things, we have to pause for a moment. We have to ask ourselves, yourself and myself included, we need to ask ourselves and look at our lives and say, is there any weight that I need to lay aside? Is there anything in my life, legitimate, illegitimate, good or bad, that needs to be laid aside because it's interfering in my race of faith? Because it is hindering me, it's holding me back, and maybe even in danger of grinding me to a complete halt. The writer to the Hebrews goes on specifically to talk about the sin which does so easily beset us. And of course, any and all sins have to be laid aside for the Christian. But most especially, the sin of unbelief. And what we have here before us are warnings about being overtaken and overwhelmed by doubts and worry. Recall that this epistle was written to those who are suffering persecution because of their stand for Christ. And they are being encouraged towards faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we have to have complete trust in the promises of God, and we need to have complete confidence that the life of faith is assured of triumph and victory. We need to lay aside those weights. And as Peter wrote to us in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 7, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." With full assurance of faith, and with every hindrance cast off and laid aside, we can run the race of faith as God intended. But you and I know, don't we, that life is fraught with obstacles, that the course set out before us has a myriad of challenges, a myriad of obstacles that get in the way. And this is our brother mentioned in the opening. Sometimes these things are easy to look at, but not so easy to put into practice. And so we have the second element presented to us, the need for endurance. Verse 1 again says, "Let us run with patience," and that could be translated as endurance. Let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. It's been said that life is a marathon, not a sprint. I'm sure some of us have heard that phrase before. And it's certainly the case in the race of faith. The race of faith is a marathon, not a sprint. It's not one quick burst of energy and then the race is over and done. The race demands a sustained effort over a long period of time. And so we must be prepared to press on with perseverance through trials and through temptations. And every life has trials and temptations. So we must be prepared to press on. The word used here is race. And in the Greek, the word is agona. Agona. And what it means is a conflict or struggle of many kinds. It carries with it the idea of constancy under suffering in faith and duty. In fact, it was a favorite word of Paul's, and we find it in many of his epistles, this word agona. We also have the word patience, and as I mentioned, or it could be endurance, and the Greek word there is hupomone, hupomone. And that means a patient, conquering endurance. It is a pressing steadily forward, a pressing steadily on, and a refusing to be deflected. And it carries with it the idea of determination, perseverance, and steadfastness. And so as we think about those words and we think about what they mean, we see that endurance is a necessary trait to run a successful race. Our Lord Jesus often taught his disciples concerning the need for endurance, or patience if you like. For example, in preparing them for the Great Commission, he said, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Matthew 10:22. The Lord Jesus Christ in his discourse on the Mount of Olives said this, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Matthew 24:13. And of course, the author to the Epistle of the Hebrews here stressed this virtue earlier when he referred to the example of Abraham, for example, in Hebrews 6. And when he quoted from Habakkuk, which we read just a moment ago, in Hebrews 10:36-39. In Acts 20:24, Paul pictures himself as a runner who refused to allow anything from keeping him from finishing the race with joy. "But none of these things move me," he said, "neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You notice that Paul speaks of my race or my course. He had his own race to run. And each of us have our own race to run. God calls us to finish that course or that race with joy. And it only happens with hupomone, that patient, enduring, conquering patience. How do we develop such patience? How can we develop and train ourselves in such patience and endurance? Well, we can do so, of course, with the help of the Scriptures. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Paul wrote that in Romans 15:4. Patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And that comes to us as we read of God's faithfulness in fulfilling His promises. Those things come to us as we read of the ultimate triumph of those who persevered in faith. We're also reminded in the Word of God, of course, that we're to bear one another's burdens. We're told that in Galatians 6:2. And further in that chapter, we're told that we have a duty to the weak. And so, we need to be willing to be there one for the other. My mind is cast back to Exodus 17, when Moses was praying on the hillside. And remember in Exodus 17, when Moses held up his hands, the Israelite army prevailed. But when his arms dropped, the Amalekites, their enemies, prevailed. And so what happened? Do we read in Exodus 17? We see Aaron and Hur come alongside Moses and hold up his arms when his arms were getting tired and weary from praying. And they came alongside and they held up his arms. Bear one another's burdens. One of the most inspiring incidents in Olympic history took place during the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. when British track star Derek Redmond was in the semifinals of the 400-meter sprint. About 150 meters into the race, Derek pulled up with a very serious hamstring injury, and he crumpled to the track. Immediately, stretcher bearers made their way across the track to the injured track star, but he waved them off because he was determined that he was going to finish the race. And so with great effort, he pulled himself up from the track and he pressed on, hobbling along in great pain towards the finish line. Derek's father, who was amongst the spectators in the stadium, leaped from his seat, pushed his way past the security, and ran to his son's side, propped him up, his son's arm around his shoulder, and together, father and son hobbled across the finish line while 65,000 spectators rose to their feet and gave Derek a standing ovation. That is the kind of perseverance and determination that we need to run the race of faith. But we all need help and support along the way, don't we? We all need help and support along the course. And we need to be willing to leap from the stands to help our fellow believers in their race. And we need to be humble enough and gracious enough to accept that help and support if we need it from others in our race. When I was about 25 years of age, I got out of bed to get ready to go for work. And I went to pull a sock on, and something went in my back. It was one of the most painful experiences I've ever had in my entire life, and I was crippled up and I could barely move. And so it was the one and only time in my entire working career that I had been away from work for an extended period of time. And the assembly that Yvonne and I were attending at the time, there was a dear old brother that was there who was quite advanced in years, and he gave me a call one morning. And he said, "Dennis, I would love to be able to take you to the chiropractor to take your, get your treatments." Well, full disclosure, I was 25, I was young. I thought I was young and strong, I was kind of cocky, and I thought, well, I kind of thought to myself, well, this brother, as dearly as I love him, he needs help from me, not the other way around. And I said, and I didn't want to be a burden or anything like that. And I said, well, that's very kind of you, but you know what, I'll be okay. You know, I'll get to the doctor and so on. So he hung up the phone. Well, about 10 minutes later, the phone rang again, and this time it was his wife calling. And his wife said to me, very kindly, but with a little note of firmness, she said, "You know, Dennis, it would be a real blessing to my husband if you would allow him to take you to the doctor." Well, I felt sufficiently chastised, and I thought, okay, you know, and I hung up the phone, and I called him, and I said, "You know, on second thought, I think I will take you up on that offer." And so for the next 3 weeks, he took me faithfully back and forth to the doctor, and it was an absolutely wonderful time of fellowship that we had together, and I was very humbled at how much help this dear brother gave me. So, Paul wrote that eternal life would be given to them who by patience, continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality in eternal life. Romans 2, verse 7. So, therefore, endurance or patience, hupomone, using the Greek word, is required to successfully run the race of faith. So, equally important is where our minds are focused as we run the race. The psalmist wrote, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." And so that brings us to the third element that we want to consider together this morning that's necessary in running the run of the race of faith, and that is the absolute critical need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in verses 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. The New American Standard Bible translates it this way, as fixing our eyes on Jesus. So we must look unto Jesus. Christ is the inspiring example. He is the preeminent example. He is the ultimate example in the life of faith. Of course, we must guard against seeing him only as an example. He is so much more, isn't he? He is the Lord of glory. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is our all in all. And so he needs to be the priority of our lives, more than just an example. So our focus must be upon the Lord as we run the race. Now, we might glance at others, for example, like we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 11. We might look at those examples that we have before us, and we might glance at them. But we are to gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we are to concentrate on Him. We are to focus on Him. We are to gaze and dwell and meditate and think and rest upon Him. In the ancient Greek, looking unto Jesus uses the verb aphoreo, and it's a much fuller word than what we have in the English. And what it implies is a definite looking away from other things and a present looking unto Jesus. So you see that there's a little bit more of a depth of nuance in the Greek. Looking away from other things and presently looking unto Jesus. And it reminds me of some of the hymn writers that wrote some of these beautiful words. Fill all my vision, Savior, I pray. Let me see only Jesus today. Fill all my vision, Savior divine, till with thy glory my spirit shall shine. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So we're to look away from things and presently look on him. Again, those of you who are runners, you know when you head out in the morning or in the evening or whenever you might head out for a run, you know by experience that there are many things that can distract you. I know when I head out, I know that sometimes the weather distracts me. It's too hot. It's too cold. I feel a little pain in my knee. I'm feeling a little bit of a cramp. As you're getting into it, the legs are starting to feel heavy. And I'm finding trouble getting the necessary breath that I need and all those kind of things. And if you're running along the road, there's that guy that blasts past you in his pickup truck and all these other kinds of things. There's all kinds of distractions that can come along that can get in the way of you having a successful run, isn't there? But if you're thinking about what you're trying to accomplish and maybe the personal best time you're trying to achieve or trying to conquer a certain distance, or maybe you're involved in a race itself and you want to be the one that crosses the finish line first, you are focused entirely upon that thing. And all those other distractions may come and go, but they're not taking you away from what you're trying to accomplish. And so it is in spiritual things. So it is in the running of the race of the faith. There are so many things that can easily distract us from the things of the Lord. There are so many things happening around us that can distract us from running our race of faith. Just recently, I went and had coffee with a young brother that I know from another assembly who reached out to me and said, Dennis, I'd love to sit down and chat with you about some things that are on my mind and just pick your brain about some things. So we arranged to meet for coffee and so on, and we sat and talked about different things, and he asked me questions and asked me, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? And one of the things that was weighing on him, he indicated, was he felt sort of this apathy that he saw among his generation. And we talked a little bit about those kind of things, and what our conversation turned around towards was this. And I told him that I think that a big part of the problem today, not exclusively, but a big part of the problem today is that we are find ourselves in a life that is so weighed down with distractions. Life is so busy and things come at us just at a blinding pace all the time. And I don't know about you, but I know sometimes I feel like there are times where you just need to find a place to sit down just to catch your breath. There's so many things coming at you all the time. And with the proliferation of the internet and social media and all the information that comes at us at a constant pace, there are so many things that are vying for our attention, for our affections, that we can be so easily distracted. I came across this little thing one time. It said a formula for spiritual success, and it goes like this. If you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. But if you want to be delivered, look up. And so we're told in the scriptures in Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And so we're told here in verse 2 of chapter 12 that the Lord Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We could read that again to say Jesus is the pioneer, the leader, the originator, and the perfecter of our faith. The Word of God tells us the Lord Jesus is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He has provided for us the only perfect example of what a life of faith is like. And the Lord Jesus is with us at the starting line. He runs alongside us all the way of the race, and he carries us across, right through, across the finish line. And we're told in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is with us every step of the way. But let's remind ourselves, too, of this, that he has blazed the trail for us. He has run the race himself. Consider the race course of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. From heaven to Bethlehem, and from Golgotha to Gethsemane, to the tomb and back to heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ has run the race before us. And not once during the running of his race, not once during the course that was set before him, did he stumble, did he falter, did he doubt, did he get distracted. In fact, the Word of God says that he set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. And what awaited him at Jerusalem? It was the cross of Calvary. And he knew that he was going there and that he would die for your sin and for mine. But nothing dissuaded him, distracted him, held him back from completing the race that was set before him. He did not stumble. He did not falter. His eyes were fixed on the coming glory and satisfying the will of his Father. He ran the race himself as a forerunner, entering the heavenly sanctuary. We see in Hebrews chapter 6 that he's referred to as that forerunner. And the picture there is that of a pilot ship. And it talks about a pilot ship. A pilot ship is a small vessel that leads the larger vessels safely into the harbor, helps them navigate safely into the harbor. And so that's the picture for us in Hebrews chapter 6 of our Lord Jesus being the forerunner. He is our pilot ship, safely navigating us into the safety of the harbor of eternity in heaven. He ran the race himself and has now opened a new and living way for us, we're told in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. He ran the race himself and now helps us to finish it ourselves, we're told in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He succeeded in running the race by looking at what we see here, the joy that was set before him. He kept his eyes fixed on his Father. He kept his eyes fixed on the coming glory when all the redeemed would be gathered to him eternally. The joy set before him was being seated at God's right hand. And the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 16, verse 11, In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so with anticipation of such joy, our Lord Jesus endured the cross. He endured the excruciating physical pain of the cross. And we're told that crucifixion is amongst the most excruciating forms of torture and death ever devised by man. But not only did he endure the cross, it says he despised the shame. And that speaks to us of the emotional and spiritual agony that our Lord Jesus Christ endured at Calvary. It was a significant trial that he endured for our salvation. So significant and is beyond our comprehension and understanding. He suffered blasphemous accusations and mockery and beatings, a crown of thorns, a robe that was placed upon him in mockery, and so on and so forth. He endured the cross and despised the shame. But today, he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So just as the Lord Jesus looked to the joy before him, so we must look unto Jesus as we run our race of faith. And we come to verse 3 in this wonderful phrase, for consider him. Consider him. We must consider how he endured, not only in the cross, but throughout his entire sojourn here on earth. Hebrews 12, verse 3 tells us that he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. From the moment our Lord Jesus entered into our humanity and spent 33 and a half years sojourning here on earth, it was an experience of humiliation for him. It was an experience of difficulty. We must consider how he endured. The Amplified Bible translates this verse this way. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. We have a bit of a change here in the picture. The picture changes now from a race to a fight against sin. He experienced hostility frequently. And our Lord Jesus experienced hostility like no other. And he experiences hostility frequently to this day. Think of the hostility that Jesus endured from sinners. At his own synagogue in Nazareth, they wanted to kill him. The religious leaders hated him and constantly tried to trap him, discredit him, embarrass him, and eventually decided that they would destroy him. They lied and assassinated his character, and they called him a drunkard and a glutton. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples, and he was forsaken by the rest of them. He was mocked and beaten by many, and his own people, the ones he came to save, cried out against him, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so meditating upon our Lord, what he endured for our salvation, holding our trials up against what he suffered, will prevent us from becoming wearied and faint in your minds. We cannot run the race if we become weary and discouraged. We must consider the Lord Jesus and his example, which is a form of waiting upon the Lord. That is, we are to look on him, expect him, and hope in him. And as we do so, we're buoyed up and we're strengthened, and we shall not grow weary nor faint. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, Isaiah said. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So when we grow weary and discouraged, as we have a tendency to do, we should think of what the Lord Jesus endured and what he went through. And our trials, though difficult, will seem trifling by comparison. And so in conclusion, running the race of faith requires us to lay aside every weight which hinders us. And we're to keep our eyes and our hearts fixed upon the Lord Jesus, focusing on him who made our salvation possible. And the word of God is crucial and essential in running the race of faith in Christ, because it's through the word that we learn what it is that we must lay aside. And we learn about our Lord and what he endured. We see his perfect example, which inspires. And so we conclude by asking these questions of you. How are you enduring? How is your hupomone? Are you weary? O soul, are you weary and troubled? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And with this verse we'll end. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Hebrews 10, verse 36. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before with grateful hearts and give you thanks again for your precious word and the privilege and opportunity to minister it again. We thank thee most especially for our Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And we pray, our Father, that each one of us here know him personally as Savior. And we pray, our Father, we keep our hearts and our eyes fixed upon him. And for those who are strangers to your love and grace, O God, we pray, O God, that today would be the day of salvation, that there be confession of him as Lord and Savior, and that their hearts would be fixed upon him. And so, Father, we pray your blessing and guidance and help as we run the race of faith, and pray that it be done so to your pleasure. We give you thanks again for all these things in the most worthy and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.